Now, this week we've been learning our motto, which is a memory verse from the Bible. What does it mean? Well, we know that the Son of Man is a title for Jesus. So Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. Well, who's lost? And how does Jesus save them? Well, we found out a bit about that on Thursday and Friday. On Thursday, we started off thinking about our favorite superheroes. I think here's mine. Should be behind you. Should have a clue. There we are, that's Mr. Incredible. And we thought about our favourite superhero stories, how there's normally a problem. A villain has a really bad plan to take over the world. He wants to be in charge. And he starts to do his plan. He starts doing terrible things. And the people are in great danger. I think you'll see the next slide. There it is. The people are in great danger. What are they going to do? They're in trouble. And then the superheroes show up. They turn up and they use their superpowers. And the people are rescued. And the bad guy's plan is foiled. And the bad guy's punished. Now, those are made up stories. And they're great fun. But we thought there's some similarities with what we've been learning about Jesus. On the next slide we can see there was the storm. And there was the hungry crowd. And Jesus came and used his power to rescue the people. And then the people at that time, we learned, started to think, because God had promised to send a hero who would rescue his people. And the people started to think. They thought, hang on a minute, we've got some villains to fight. The Romans. They've taken over us. They're in charge. We don't like them. Maybe God's promised rescuer has been sent to fight the Romans. And some people got excited about that. But some people didn't like it. This group here thought, let's make Jesus the king. He can fight the Romans and get rid of them. But we also learned that this group over here, they didn't like this. They were the bosses. They'd been allowed to keep their jobs by the Romans as long as there was no trouble. They were worried that if Jesus fought the Romans, then the Romans would get rid of them. They said, Jesus isn't. He's not the hero. He's a villain. We'll know God's promised hero when he shows up, and Jesus isn't him. And you know what? They handed Jesus over to the Romans. And they put him on a cross. And Jesus died on a cross, the death of a villain. In fact, he was put up there with two other villains. One of them made fun of Jesus. But the other one said, no, Jesus has done nothing wrong. Jesus is good. And he asked Jesus to rescue him. So what did Jesus do? Did he jump off the cross and fight everyone and get this man down and run away? Well, no, they all died. Maybe he was wrong. Maybe Jesus was a villain. But then, 3 days later, when Jesus' friends went to visit his tomb, the stone had been rolled away and it was empty. Jesus had gone. Where had he gone? Jesus had risen from the dead. He started to appear to his disciples. First of all, he appeared to ones and twos, then to whole rooms full of people. And then on one occasion, he appeared to 500 people all at once. Over 40 days, he appeared loads and loads of times. Jesus had power over death. He had defeated death. And we thought about that. Jesus had power over death on Thursday. And that made us think, actually, Jesus was the promised hero from the Bible. Jesus had been sent by God to rescue. If you have the next slide. But not to rescue people from the Romans, to rescue us all from death. And we thought a bit about what the Bible teaches us about death. That death is the consequence. It's the punishment of our sin. And then we thought, well, what's sin? It's an old-fashioned word. We often think it means the wrong things we say and do and think. And that's true. But it's more than that. The Bible tells us that God made the world, and he put us on it to enjoy it and to look after it and to serve him as king. But every one of us has said, God, we don't want you to be king. We want to be king of our own lives. That's what sin is. And that's what spoils the world as we all try to be king. And we thought, oh no, that's bad news. That makes us the villains. That means we need to be punished. But the good news is that when Jesus died on the cross, he was being punished for my sin and for your sin. That villain recognized that. He realized he was a bad guy. And he asked Jesus to rescue him. And Jesus promised that today he would be with him in heaven. Jesus, the superpower, has power over death. And then we thought, well, if he can be forgiven, can we? And that's what we learned on Friday. On Friday, we learned about another villain, a bad guy called Zacchaeus. He loved money. He loved himself. And he collected taxes for the Romans. And the people hated him because not only did he collect the taxes, but he kept the money for himself. And one day Jesus came to his town. Zacchaeus wanted to see him, so he climbed up a tree. But Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. Fancy that. Jesus wanted to see the biggest villain in the town. And he went to his house and he talked to him. And something amazing happened. Jesus forgave him. And it changed Zacchaeus' life. Instead of living for himself and for money, now he was living with Jesus as his king. He paid back all the people he cheated. He gave away loads of his money to the poor. Jesus has power to save lives. That's what we learned on Thursday. Jesus had power over death. And on Friday, Jesus has power to change lives. Thank you.
But we've had some wonderful stories. We've learned a verse which says Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. And I just wondered what people needed saving from. We've heard a bit from Alan. We've heard four stories of amazing things that Jesus did. He had power over nature. He told the waves what to do. He told the weather. And it listened. He had power to provide. He could make and give food to people. He had power over death. He came back to life. And he had power to change lives. We've got one more story today. One more story this morning. And one last thing Jesus has power over that might be able to help our question. Where's my sticks? Here they are. Last story of the week. Here he comes. This story is all about a man. Oh, it's not my best colour. Here we go. Perhaps I'll stand this side and catch this bit. There we are. This story is all about a man who had a bent back. Mine and your back looks like that. Well, lots of ours anyway. But this man's back looked like that. It was bent in the middle. This poor man had to lie flat on a mat constantly. Poor man couldn't even use a walking stick to walk. And he'd been like that. The Bible doesn't quite tell us how long, but it was definitely more than 3 years. So this story is all about the man with a bent back who had to lie flat on a mat. Couldn't even walk with a walking stick and been like it for 3 or more years. Life was hard for the man with a bent back who had to lie flat on a mat, can't walk with a walking stick, been like it for 3 or more years. You can imagine for the man with a bent back who had to lie flat on a mat, can't walk with a walking stick, been like it for 3 more years, that life wasn't great. But thankfully for the man with a bent back who had to lie flat on a mat, can't walk with a walking stick, been like it for 3 more years, he has a few friends, actually more than a few, he has that many friends. What number's that? Four. He has four friends. The man with the bent back, Wesley Flattermack, can't even walk a walking stick, be like 3 more years. He's very lucky because he has four friends. These four friends look after the man with the bent back, Wesley Flattermack, can't even walk a walking stick, be like 3 more years. They look after him. They care for him. They bring him stuff. But one day, one of the four friends had an idea. And the one friend said to the three friends, which made four altogether, they said, I've heard about this man called Jesus. He's doing wonderful things. He's telling the storm what to do and he's providing food for everyone. We should take the man with the bent back, Wesley Flattermack, can't even walk for walks, take me like 3 or 4 years. We should take him to see Jesus. So that's what the four friends did. The four friends went to the man with the bent back, Wesley Flattermack, can't even walk for take me like 3 more years. And they said, we want to take you to Jesus. And the man with the bent back, Wesley Flattermack, can't even walk for walks, take me like 3 more years, thought, that's a good idea. So the four friends grabbed the man on his mat like that. And they carried him to the house where Jesus was going to be. Now, this is what you need to know about the houses. Our houses, or when we draw a picture of a house, have a pointy roof like that. But in Jesus' day, they didn't have a pointy roof like that. They had a flat roof like that, with steps up the side like that. So, the four friends of the man with the bent back, that lay flat and mat, carrying over like 3 more years, got to the roof, not shaped like that, with the steps up the side like that. When they got to the house with the roof shaped like that, with steps aside like that, they saw something amazing. They saw thousands of people crammed into this house. They looked in through the door, But they couldn't get anywhere near because there were hundreds upon thousands of people there. They looked in through the window and they could see Jesus at the back speaking to people, but they couldn't get anywhere near. The four friends and the man with the bent back, left flat and mad, counting more close to me like three more years, said, "What are we going to do?" One of the four friends and the man with the bent back, left flat and mad, counting more close to me like three more years, had an idea. He said, "We need to take our friend up to the roof, shaped like that, with the steps up like the side like that." He said, "We need to take the man," I'll try that one more time, "with the roof, not shaped like that, with the steps at the side like that." They said, "We need to take the man with the bent back, us lay flat and mad, can't even walk, because take me like three more years, up onto the roof, not shaped like that, with the steps at the side like that. We need to take him up here." So that's what they did. They carried him back on his mat, took him up the steps, onto the roof, but it wasn't shaped like that, but it was shaped like that. When they got up to the roof, the four friends said, "What are we going to do now?" Thankfully, the roofs weren't quite as hard those days. Or perhaps they'd had some of the lead taken off. But they could gradually make them burrow a way through the roof. And they started to make a hole. And that hole got bigger and bigger and bigger until they were able to look down into the room and see Jesus there. The four friends took their friend on the mat and they started to lower him slowly in to the room. People started to notice. Everybody looked up at this man coming in and they said, "Oh, what's going on? There's a man coming through the roof." The man was gradually brought before Jesus. And there he laid before Jesus. The man looked at Jesus and Jesus looked at the man. And this is what Jesus said. It shocked everyone. Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Everyone was amazed. The man thought, "What's Jesus saying?" He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There were some men at the back. They wore funny hats like that. They were called the Pharisees. They didn't like what Jesus had just said. They said, "Who's this Jesus? Only God can forgive sins. Who is he to forgive sins, to say he can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were thinking because he was God. He said to the room, he said, "What would be easier for me to forgive this man's sins on the inside, which you can't really see, or to make his legs better?" He said, "So you know I'm God and I'm who I say I am." He turned to the man and he said, "Get up and walk." The man slowly started to get up. Before, his legs had been like that, all wobbly. The man started to feel strength in his legs and he slowly got up and he stood. Before, his back had been shaped like that, but his back started to stretch out and look like that. Before, he couldn't even walk with a walking stick, but now his legs were strong. He could do all the other things that everyone else could do. He could walk. He could run. He could jump. He could kick a ball. He could do the splits if you wanted to. He could do all the things that everyone else could do. The man was amazed. The four friends were happy. The man folded up his mat, put it over his shoulder, and he walked away. Two things happened to that man. And I wonder what was the most important. Our verse told us that Jesus came to save. Do you know, right at the beginning, at Christmas, we remember, an angel came to Mary. An angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a son. You're to call him Jesus because he will save his people." And I wonder what you think you need saving from. Many people think, my financial situation, if I had a bit more money, if I didn't have money worries, if someone could save me from my money worries, then everything would be okay and life would be good. Some will think, my family, I've got family problems. If someone could save me from my family problems, then life would be great. Or perhaps, like that man, who thought his biggest problem in the world was his legs. And he thought, if I could just get my legs on my back fixed, life would be great. Perhaps you think health-wise. Perhaps you think, if I could just be well, if I could just sort that health problem out, then life would be great. But Jesus showed that man that he had a bigger problem. We've talked about it already. It was the sin on the inside, what Alex just told us, the rebellion from God. The things we say, the things we think, the things we do, which say, actually, God, I want to be king and I want to be number one. And actually, I'm not going to worry about you. I'm just going to worry about me. That's sin. And Jesus told the man, even though he had bad legs and bad back, that wasn't his biggest problem. His biggest problem was the sin, because that's what separated him from God and friendship and relationship with God. So Jesus dealt with that man. First the inside, then his legs. But you know, it was always going to be the way. Because when the angel spoke to Mary, that's what the angel said. The angel said, you should call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And sin is the problem. It's not nice, it's not good, but the problem is it separates us from God. And you know, we've had a brilliant week with your kids. The team we've just thanked. Some of them give up jobs to be there. They take their holiday to be there here. They don't get paid, but they come, hopefully because it's fun. Hopefully because they love all the messy things I love making them do. But ultimately, they've discovered something. They've seen for themselves who Jesus Christ was and that he could forgive their sins so that they could be in a relationship and a friendship with God. And that's why they do what they do, so they can share that with children and with mums and dads. And that's our message. That actually there's a loving Heavenly Father, a God who wants to get to know you, a God who loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross so that that relationship could be restored, that the sin which keeps us away from him could be dealt with so that we could come to him again. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who said, God, I'm sorry for that sin. I'm sorry for the rebellion that has kept me from you. I thank you for what Jesus Christ has done and can take that away. And that's a Christian. It's someone who has a friendship, a relationship with God. And that's what the team have discovered, and that's why they've been here with your kids this week and sharing that. We've had a great week. We've loved the messy games. We've loved the challenges. There's been a drama here, which was amazing. But actually, the most important thing was that most important final power of Jesus, that Jesus had power to defeat sin. And he had power so that we could be friends with God again. We'd love to see you. We're here every week. Back to two services next week, 9:30 and 10:15 here. We'd love to see you again. But if you'd love to chat through anything we've talked about, anything we've been teaching your kids, and you'd love to know more about that, come and catch me or one of the guys who've been up on stage today, and we'd love to chat to you about what we believe. How Jesus Christ came, how he died, so that that rebellion, that sin could be gone forever and deal with our biggest problem. Dear God, we thank you for this week. We thank you for the fun we've had. We thank you for every child who's come and joined and had fun. We thank you for every family who's come and joined with us. We thank you that we have been able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what we believe. We thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us and bring us back to you. We pray that you go with us now. Watch over us. Thank you for the food we will eat. Be with us this day, we pray. In your name, amen.